It's been almost a year since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the use of race-conscious admissions in higher education. Now, in an effort to counteract the expected outcome of that ruling, some Beacon Hill lawmakers are targeting another common factor in admissions: legacy preferences, which tend to favor white and wealthier applicants. But even some proponents of diversity on college campuses are hesitant. WBUR education reporter Max Larkin joins us to explain more. Good morning.
Good morning, Rupa.
So what would this bill being considered by state lawmakers actually do?
Yeah, it's a short bill. It would bar both public and private colleges and universities from considering whether an applicant had a parent who attended the school or a relative as part of the admission process.
And does it have a chance of passing?
Well, I think similar bills have become law in other states, like Virginia just this week, at Colorado back in 2021. But in those cases, it only applied to public universities. In Massachusetts, we've got dozens of private institutions that practice legacy preferences, including Harvard, Williams College, Tufts, Boston College for a start. We're talking billions of dollars here, Rupa, big employers. And so this bill was approved by the state's Joint Committee on Higher Education, but I think it's an open question of whether Beacon Hill can kind of tackle all of those institutions.
And how did the bill's supporters argue for taking on that challenge?
Well, its lead sponsor, Senator Lydia Edwards, and other advocates for a ban say that the legacy bonus is kind of a form of discrimination in and of itself. You know, one study found that the children of Harvard alumni were as much as five times as likely to get into Harvard themselves, and that, you know, some 70% of the legacy applicants in a recent period to that school were white. I spoke to Richard Kahlenberg, who's an education policy expert who has long called the legacy preference affirmative action for the rich. And he says, even if this bill doesn't pass, it kind of helps ramp up pressure to end it.
I think it is part of a larger message to universities. It's unacceptable to allow racial diversity to plummet. And ending legacy preferences is pretty low-hanging fruit.
Do we know if that's how the general public feels about legacy admissions?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that in a polarized political moment, there seems to be a consensus across parties about legacy preferences. You know, nearly 75% of Americans told the Washington Post in 2021 that they don't support legacy preferences. That's 80% of Democrats, 69% of Republicans. And the bill I mentioned in Virginia got unanimous bipartisan support on its way into law. So I think there's an American revulsion to the idea that you get an advantage just because of something your parents did. And then I think there's a deeper criticism that legacy preferences are actively working against racial and socioeconomic diversity on campus at a time when those things are already under threat.
But there must also be critics of the idea of banning legacy admissions. What did they say?
The practice doesn't have that many outspoken defenders, but some people who support equity think this might be a little bit of a distraction. Angel Perez is head of the National Association for College Admission Counseling, and is a former admissions officer himself. Perez said he would tell trustees of all the talented, low-income students that he couldn't accept every year.
And the trustees would just look at me and say, how could you not admit these students? They're incredible. And I would say, because we can't afford to do that. Because we need a certain number of students who can pay the tuition so that we can meet our operating budget.
In other words, Perez is saying if you really want to widen access to selective colleges, both schools and the government would have to radically step up their financial support, allowing more low-income students to attend. And then Perez worries about sort of opening a Pandora's box of government meddling in private admissions processes at a moment when college applications feel more political than ever. And I want to add that the state's Association of Independent Colleges and Universities, which represents dozens of these schools, raised a similar concern. They said government mandates, a quote, shouldn't dictate the policies of what they called unique institutions.
Is there any chance that schools will move away from legacy admissions on their own?
Yeah, there have already been some, but I think some were expecting an avalanche, and we haven't gotten that. So Wesleyan University was the big one after the Supreme Court decision, and some schools in our state don't use it, like MIT, Olin College of Engineering, and others have abandoned it, notably Amherst College in 2021. Meanwhile, Harvard says it is reviewing the practice internally as part of a broader review of their admissions process. But then I think we've got a deadline coming up. In a few weeks, we'll know the demographic makeup of the admitted students at these elite schools. Many expect racial and ethnic diversity to decline. And I think if that happens, Rupa, schools that value diversity may have to look for other ways to compensate for next year, including ending practices like this one, whether or not we get a bill.
WBUR's Max Larkin, thank you very much.
Thanks, Rupa.